Today we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Hosea. The Old Testament book of Hosea. Well, you never know what's going to happen at our church. Last week I tried to start a fire right here in the middle on a piano bench. And so this week I had a little different idea the Lord gave me. This is kind of a mixture between a lesson and a sermon and a talk. I don't really know what it is, but it's a message God gave me and the one I'm supposed to deliver. And so that I can promise you. This message today is a hard message to share. It's a hard message that's been laid on my heart. But I truly believe that it can change your life. The title of our sermon today is going to be Revival, Breaking Up the Hard Ground. Revival, Breaking Up the Hard Ground. And it's going to be out of Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Here's what God's word says. Sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Listen to it one more time out of the New Living Translation. It says, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. For now is the time to seek the Lord that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. So how many people in the church today would like to see a revival among Christians? Would anybody like to see that today? You know, I like to see that too, and I believe it can happen. If you just imagine with me, just for 1 minute, imagine with me what it would be like for the whole world if there was a revival among Christians today. We would see business owners appreciating their people. Wouldn't that be nice? It'd be nice to see that. We'd see business owners appreciating their people. We'd see husbands and wives loving their families and their children. We'd see peace and forgiveness and mercy and grace. We would see love, true love, like God has, where people help one another and where they serve one another. We'd live in a world where there wouldn't be any more grudges, no more anger, no more impatience. Wouldn't that be a joy that we could enjoy if we could see something like that? I think there'd be a joy that would fill the earth, that God would be well pleased. And I can imagine that. I can believe that it's possible. I believe that God wants us to have revival. I'll tell you, this message came from a place in my heart this week. I was praying to the Lord and I had a rough day. And I was just unhappy. And I didn't have any joy in my heart. And I was angry and I was frustrated and I was irritated and I didn't even know why. And I said, God, I want you to revive me. I want to restore the joy in my heart. And as God started speaking to me, that's where this message came from. And so it's a sermon that God gave to me, for me, but I think it will bless you as well. I believe revival is possible. I believe God wants revival, and you know what? It doesn't start with your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad. It starts with you. Revival starts by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit working in your heart and you letting the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. How many people in our church today are dealing with some kind of heart condition? Does anybody have some kind of heart problem today? Yes, you could have a spiritual heart problem, a physical heart problem. I know we have some physical heart problems today. Josh has a problem called SVT, supraventricular tachycardia. I know Brother Ron is dealing with a heart problem with strange heart palpitations and some pain. I know that Sister Lorene was dealing with a physical heart problem. She had chest pressure this week, and she went in and she found out that, thank goodness, it was just related to anxiety and stress. My family is very familiar with heart problems. We've had several people that have passed away because of heart issues. I have heart issues. Lots of people have physical heart issues. But today I don't want to talk about physical heart problems. If you have a physical heart problem, you should probably talk to my wife. She's the nurse. But if you have a spiritual heart problem, then I can help you with that. Let's be honest with each other today. This is going to be a tough message. And you're really going to have to open your heart and you're really going to have to pay attention. But I believe it'll change your life. So let's start with being honest right now. Life can be tough sometimes, amen? And when life is tough sometimes, we don't see the forest through the trees. Who in our congregation today is feeling just a little bit under the weather? Who's feeling a little under the weather? Who's feeling just a little bit sad for some reason? They don't know why, but just a little sad. Yeah. Who's feeling a little frustrated or maybe irritated? Yeah, a couple people. What about tired, exhausted, or just worn out? Yeah, we got some people like that too. Now, how many people in our congregation are dealing with having trouble with forgiveness? How many people have something that they're just having trouble giving forgiveness? Yeah. What about holding a grudge against someone or something? Anybody dealing with that problem right now? Anybody seem like just the last couple of days they've been constantly irritated? I was thinking, God, that Shannon didn't raise her hand on that one. What about bitter? Has anybody felt bitter lately? Anybody lost their joy? Seemed like they used to be happy. They used to be excited. But for some reason, they just lost their joy, like that spark is gone. Well, today is the day the Lord wants to do some heart surgery. If you know anything about heart surgery, it's a little scary. It's a little painful. And it takes a long time to heal from. And the heart surgery that we're going to do today may be the same way for you. God wants to change your heart today. But it's not going to be easy. And it might not be fun. But if you listen to the message, and you open up your heart, and you stay focused on the truth, I believe you could see an amazing spiritual breakthrough in your life today. I believe that you could see changes in your heart immediately. So are you with me? You with me? I can't hear you. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Amen. Good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, this is a hard message to share. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts today. Crack them wide open, God. I pray, God, whatever stone walls we've put around them, whatever bricks that we've mortared around them over the years, God, we would break those things down. And today we would let you see inside of our heart for who we truly are, both good and bad. God, help us to be honest with ourselves today. As we listen to this message, Lord, help us to make a change today in our life that will glorify you, that will help us grow closer to you, that will ignite revival in our hearts today. Lord, help us as we go to your word. We rely on you and we trust in you. Let us be honest with ourselves and be honest with you. Thank you, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Today there's going to be a lot of self-examination. If you've looked at that little handout that I put together, you'll see there's some questions on there. There's some things to think about. You may have already been looking at them even before church started and started thinking about them. That's good. The scripture we're looking at today comes from Hosea 10:12. Let me remind you what it says. God's word says, "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rains righteousness upon you." So what the scripture is telling us today is that if we want the Lord to come and shower and bless us with righteousness, if we want revival, then we're going to have to break up that hard ground in our hearts. We're going to have to break up that hard ground that surrounds our hearts if we want revival today. So I hope you're ready to do some hard work, because breaking up fallow ground is not easy. Does anybody know what it means to break up fallow ground? What it's like to break up hard ground? Do we have any farmers in here? Do you know what it's like when you have some hard and some stony ground that really is unplantable, that's unusable, that's good for nothing? Have you ever had ground like that before? Well, you see, it's only unusable, it's only unplantable if you don't spend time working on it. But if you spend time working on that hard ground, if you carefully prepare it, that ground that was once like concrete, that land that you're working, that you had to use a soil, you had to use extra water, you had to use a hoe, a rake, a rototiller, or whatever other tools you might need, once you're done working that ground enough, you can make it soft. And once it's soft, it can absorb those nutrients, and it can get rain. And when you plant those seeds, a harvest can be grown. But it's work for the harvest to come. Today you're going to look inside your own heart. And it's a scary place. You're going to look inside your own heart. You're going to find the hard ground. And you're going to break it. And by the time you're done listening to this message today, that ground is going to be soft, it's going to be fertile, and God is going to start growing beautiful things. But it's going to take hard work, and you're going to have to be ready. You see, like many of us in Kansas, the Jews were a nation of farmers. And so Scripture often refers to people's occupation to illustrate its point so that people can understand. This prophet Hosea, he used this strategy to be able to get his point across in the Scripture today. He was telling these Israelites, these people, that they were becoming a nation of backsliders. They were starting to do some things that weren't glorifying to God, and their hearts were hardened, and they couldn't receive the blessings that God had in store for them. Verse 13 in that same chapter, Hosea says, "But you have cultivated wickedness and harvested a thriving crop of sins. You have eaten from the fruit of lies." You see, these people, they were struggling, just like many of us are today. They wanted revival. They wanted to be close to God. They wanted a breakthrough. But they just couldn't do it because they were backsliding. And you see, sin separates us from God. And so if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we're in the same situation, aren't we? We want to be close to God, but we don't want to stop sinning. We want God to bless us. We want God to answer our prayers. But we refuse, or we make excuses of why we continue to hold that grudge, of why we harvest that crop of bitterness, of why we keep that attitude of complaining, or just blatantly continue to sin. And revival and blessings just aren't going to come to you if you continue to live in sin like that. Listen again to Hosea 10:12. "Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you." If we want revival, folks, then we have to prepare our hearts. We have to take that hard heart. We got to break down those walls. We have to get it ready for the planting, ready for God to work in it so that righteousness can be given to us. Now, plowing is hard work, isn't it, Alva? Is plowing hard work? Yeah, do you come out sore sometimes when you're done plowing? Yeah, working on the field, that's hard work. And what I'm going to tell you is that while plowing can be hard work, while it can be painful, while you might even be sore after this message, it is absolutely worth it when you see all those crops that are yielded, isn't it? So let's figure out today as a family, not as a pastor in a congregation, as a brother and sister, as a friend, how we can plow up that hard ground in our hearts. The first step to plowing up that hard ground is you got to soften it. You got to start softening your heart. If you want to break up the fallow ground of our heart, we need to look inwardly at ourselves. We need to stop comparing our walk with God with somebody else's. And we need to get serious about breaking up the ground in our own heart. Listen to these words prayerfully from Psalm 138, verse 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting path." So I want you just to take a minute right now to examine yourself. Write down your state of mind. How do you feel today? Put a little section in there for that. Write down how you feel today. Don't share your paper with anybody. This isn't for anybody else. This is for you. Nobody else in the world needs to see this paper unless you want to share it to them. This is your path to revival. How do you feel today? See where you are. You know, many of us, we don't think about this. We never stop and take inventory. We pay no attention to our own hearts. And we never know whether we're doing well in the faith or we're falling away from the faith, whether we're gaining ground or we're going backwards, whether our life is fruitful or it's full of weeds. Thoroughly examine the state of your heart and see where you are. Write down and think about your individual struggles. Write down your sins. Write down your worries. One by one, your struggles, your sin, your worry. Go ahead. Nobody's looking. Don't be afraid. It's just between you and God. It's for you to help you bring revival to your heart. Now, I don't mean for you to glance at your past life, the things that you've asked for forgiveness for and repented, and God's already forgiven you. You don't need any of that. They're gone as far as the east and from the west. I mean, write down the things that are making your heart hard right this minute. And think about them. Go over them carefully, like a merchant would if they were closing their doors, closing their books, closing the store. Each time a sin, a struggle, or a worry comes to your mind through the message today, I want you to add it to your list. Now begin thinking of what we commonly call sins of omission. Things that God calls us to do, but we don't do them. Like loving your neighbor as yourself. If you struggle with that, write yourself a note. Like praying for those that despitefully use you. Like not stepping out on faith when the Holy Spirit calls you to do so. Now, once you have all those things and all those thoughts written down, I want to talk to you about our next step that's even more tough. Neglect. Neglect. Now, I told you in the middle of the sermon that it might be a little painful. But I promise it'll be worth it in the end if you put in the work. So the second step to revival is we have to open up our hearts. We got to bear ourselves before God. We got to be honest with the Lord about what we've neglected. So many of us Christians today have ingratitude. God does so many things for us. And we just aren't thankful and we don't praise God for what He has done in our life. Remember, this is a sermon God gave me for the problem I was dealing with. But I hope it applies to you too. Now on that piece of paper you have, write down all the things that you're thankful for. Think about all the times that you can remember where you received favors from God, where you received mercy from God, but you never thanked Him. How many cases can you remember? Maybe it was a remarkable provision that God gave you. You never thanked Him for it. Maybe it was a promotion at work. Maybe it was God sending you a wonderful husband or a wonderful wife. Maybe it was an answered prayer, or for that fact, an unanswered prayer. Maybe there was a time where God moved in a turn of events that saved you from absolute ruin. You just really haven't thanked Him for that. Maybe the Lord touched you with His healing touch. Maybe He gave you a financial blessing. Maybe it was God saving your life or one of your family members' lives in a car accident or a work accident. Only you know the great things that God has done for you. Now write down all the instances you can think of God's goodness to you when you were in sin, before you were saved. And you can use the back of the paper too if you need to. Think about how God blessed you even when you weren't following Him. Even when you weren't coming to church, when you weren't reading the Bible, when you weren't praying, when you weren't looking at the Lord. Think about all the great things He had done in your life. Even when you weren't following Him. I realize it could be an astonishing number. When I looked at all the great things God had done for me, I saw that my ingratitude was so lacking that I fell on my face before God and confessed right at that moment. I told God, I'm sorry for not thanking You for what You've done for me. Isn't it amazing that God still shows us His love, His blessing, His mercy? Not just when we are saved, but even before we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What other things have you been neglecting in your relationship with God? Write them down. Have you been neglecting your Bible reading? Yeah. Write it down. Maybe you are reading the Bible, but it's just because you feel obligated. Maybe you're reading whole chapters so fast that you don't even remember what you read about. How is that honoring God? Maybe you've been reading, but you're just not applying it to your life. Maybe you're reading these scriptures, you're reading these truths, but you're just not living them out. Write it down if you're struggling with that. Maybe you've been reading, but you just don't believe. Write down instances you have of unbelief. You wonder why some prayers aren't answered. It's because we pray like a double-minded man, the Bible says. We come and we ask God for answers, but we don't really trust Him. We don't really believe that He can answer them. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of Christ. If you have unbelief in your life, some of the disciples struggle with that too. So help me with my unbelief. Have you been neglecting to pray? Think of times when you neglected to pray. Family prayer, secret prayer, prayer meetings, whatever. Remember those times you said you'd pray for somebody, but you forgot or you didn't. I know today's message is a tough one, folks. But this is how we revive our hearts. It's by being honest with ourselves and honest with God. The Lord can't help you with what you're battling unless you come before Him with what you're battling. So often we point our fingers and we look at other people and their faults and their problems. Today is your day between you and God to look at your own problems, your own battles, to get that revival that God wants to give you. So let's keep going. Let's keep breaking up these hard hearts, this spiritual ground, so you can have this personal revival. So far, we talked about softening our hearts by examining. We listed the sins, the struggles, the worries that we have right now. We're bringing to our mind the ways we've neglected God by not being thankful for what He's done, by having unbelief at times, by neglecting our Bible reading or neglecting prayer. There may be other things too. As we continue talking about plowing up this hard ground, we need to talk about something else nobody wants to talk about. Our spiritual attitude. How is your attitude today? You don't have to raise your hands. Does anyone have a bad attitude today that's keeping their ground hard? Does anybody have a terrible attitude that's keeping that ground around your heart hard? Do you ever just pray and you don't even know what you prayed for because you're just doing it out of habit? You're praying with a lack of feeling or even faith. You don't even remember what you're praying for. It's just chatter. Maybe right now you're having a spiritual problem. You're having a problem with a fellow believer. Do you have an attitude of anger or bitterness or frustration instead of a heart for forgiveness and compassion? Go ahead, write down the initials of that person you're struggling with under the people you should pray for. Write about how you can pray for them, what you can pray for them about. Write about how you can pray for you. How about the rest of your spiritual attitude? Are you as concerned about those that are lost as you should be? You know, the whole reason Jesus came down was to seek and to save those that are lost. Do you care about those people? If it was important to God, shouldn't it be important to you? Do you care about the unbelievers, your friends, your neighbors, the people on the street? Or are you just standing by watching them all go right to hell without praying for them or sharing the gospel with them?
or telling them how God has worked in your life. Let's keep plowing. How are your priorities today? They impact your spiritual attitude too. Our church mission statement may be, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But how are you doing that? Are you doing good? Is God really number one in your life? Your family second and you third? Or are you putting yourself above your family? Are you putting yourself above God? Think about it. Are you taking care of your family? Are you praying for them? Are you setting an example for your family? Are you spiritually leading them towards Christ by the way you act? By what you say? How about your fellow believers? Are you caring for your fellow brother or sister in Christ? Are you helping to provide their needs when you're able? Are you encouraging them like the Bible teaches us? As iron sharpens iron, let one man sharpen another. How many times have you seen your brethren growing cold in the faith? And you haven't even spoken to them about it. You've seen them beginning to neglect and to fall away from Christ, but you haven't said anything to them. You say you love them, you pretend to love them, but how can you really love them when you're watching them go down a dark path? You wouldn't watch your wife, your husband, your child go into disgrace or fall into the fire. So don't stand around and let your brothers and sisters fall away from Christ either without saying anything to try to help them, without praying for them. Remember, Hosea 10:12 says, plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. What you're writing down today, what you're thinking about, shows if you're serious about revival. If you're serious about revival, church, we need to continue breaking up the hard ground in our life. You know what? We and we alone are responsible for our actions. You can't blame anybody else for the decisions you make in your life. The devil didn't make you do anything. He may have tempted you, but you made the decision. If we want revival, we got to break up this ground. The things that are making our heart hard. I'd love to tell you that the message is going to lighten up here, but it's not. I need to talk to you about serious things that are going to change your life with Christ. We have to continue plowing, continue pushing through this tough ground so we can make the ground soft to receive the Word of God, to receive the seed, and allow the water to let it grow. So keep those plows strapped on. What about pride? Does anybody struggle with pride? Write it down. Remember all the times you found yourself acting or thinking with pride. Maybe even thinking that you were better than someone else. You know, vanity is also a particular form of pride. How many times have you thought more and taken more trouble and time decorating your own body to go to church than preparing your mind to worship God? How many times have you attended church caring more about how you appear physically to other people than how your soul appears to the heart-searching God? Think about it. Envy. Look at those times where you were envious of those who have something that you don't have. Instead of rejoicing with them, have you found yourself dwelling on their faults? Instead of praising God for their virtues, hoping for them to fail rather than rejoicing in their success. If envy is a battle you face, write it down. God can't help you with these battles unless you're honest with Him, unless you admit your faults, unless you come before Him. How many of us today are dealing with a critical spirit? Do you remember the times you have a bitter spirit? And you've spoken of Christians in a manner that didn't show charity or love. The times that you've spoken unnecessarily about the faults, real or imaginated, about the members of the church or others behind their back. It's easy for us to be critical of other people. But it's also a fault. Lying. Do you find yourself lying? Do you find yourself telling lies? Understand what lying really is. It's any kind of designed deception. It's an intent to deceive someone. That's what lying is. Write down all those incidents, those things you can remember. Lies at work, lies to your friends, lies to your spouse, lies to your parents. You got to be honest with God if you want to plow through this ground. Now, I know we're at a point in the sermon where some of your minds want to shut off. You're trying to shut out the sermon. You don't want to hear this message. And the devil is fighting you right now. Don't let him win. This is a battle for your heart. You can win it. The ground can become soft and you can have victory. You can have revival, but don't give up. Don't let your mind get weary. Let God continue to work. Plow the field. Stay focused. What about cheating? Do you have a problem with cheating? Remember all the time this week where you've done an unfair practice to somebody, where you've taken advantage of somebody. You know, God laid down a rule for this case. He says, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, you should do also to them. The golden rule is what we call it. Think about your last couple days. As much as you might hate this word, are you a hypocrite? Being a hypocrite is a big problem, and it causes more ripples in the pond than perhaps many other sins. How many times have you told someone what the right thing is to do, all while you're doing the wrong thing? How many times have you confessed sins that you never really repented for? You said, God, I'm sorry for this, but you never turned away from the sin, and you kept doing it anyway. Hypocrisy, one of the greatest enemies of the church. What about robbing God? Think of the times you misspend your time, squandering the hours that God has given you to serve Him and save souls. Out of the 24 hours that God has given you, how much of that time do you spend with Him? How much do you spend doing His work? Are you robbing God financially? Or are you robbing Him with your talents? Everything you have is because God gave it to you. He's given you the ability to learn. He's given you the ability to have that job that you have. He's given you that special talent to use so that you can glorify Him. Are you robbing God? Are you tithing your time and your talents and your finances and gifts to the Lord? Or are you being selfish and keeping them all for yourself? Don't stop plowing. I'm almost done. One last thing to plow up. Bad temper. Do you struggle with anger issues? Losing your patience? Losing your temper at the drop of a hat? Maybe you've even physically or mentally abused your wife, your children, your family, your coworkers, or your neighbors. Write it down. I want to share one more thought before I close. How's your plow feeling? Are you tired? This is how you till up the ground, folks. This is how you plow through. By self-examination, by looking in your own heart. Look at the papers, the things you wrote down. Don't look at your neighbor's papers. Just look at your notes. Look at the names you listed to pray for. Look at the problems and the struggles and the sins and the worries you listed. The things you're neglecting in your walk with God. Look at the things you should be thankful for. Look at the lost, the people you need to pray for. Look at the people you need to give forgiveness to. All these things you listed are roadblocks to your personal revival. Everything that's on that paper, that is a roadblock that's stopping you from having that joy in your heart, that's stopping you from having those blessings that God wants to give you. Everything you wrote down is your own personal roadblock. And you got to remove them from your heart in order to receive the blessings that God has in store for you. Listen again, Hosea 10:12. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that He may come and shower righteousness upon you. Break up all that ground and turn it over. Don't balk. Don't turn away. Don't give up because of the little difficulties. Drive that plow right through them. Go deep and turn around and plow through it again so that ground can be soft, so that you can be ready to receive that seed and bear fruit 100-fold. Now is the time for revival. Now is the time to get your heart clean. We've been hiding our problems long enough. We've been hiding our sins and our worries and neglecting God long enough. Today is the day to get serious with God, to get serious about your faith, to remove those roadblocks so that you can have the joy that God wants you to have. He says He came to give you life and life more abundantly. Look at your life. Does it feel abundant? Are you happy? Get these roadblocks out of there and let the healing begin. If you find you committed a fault against an individual and that individual is within your reach, you should go confess it to them immediately and ask Him for forgiveness. Get that transgression, get that sin out of the way. If that person you've injured or you hurt is too far away, even if they don't even know you hurt them, just by something you thought or you said behind their back, go and tell them you're sorry. They don't have to ask you what for. Just say, hey, I'm sorry. It's time for forgiveness. If they're too far away from you, write a letter or call them. Let the healing begin now. Do it now or you won't do it. The reason you have papers and you were to write things down is so you won't forget, so that you can look at that and you can focus on that and you can get those roadblocks out of the way. The only person that can remove those roadblocks from your life is the Lord, and the only way He'll do that is if you go to Him with them. If you've sinned against God, and you have, and so have I, we've all sinned against God. The Bible's clear about that. When we have our invitation time, I want you to come and fill these altars. It's not for me. It's for you. It's time to get rid of the stumbling blocks in our path. They are stopping you from revival. It doesn't matter what's happened in the rest of the world. That's not stopping you from revival. What's stopping you is you. Those things you wrote down, they're stealing your joy. They're robbing you from happiness. You're carrying a burden that's too heavy for you to bear. God never meant for you to bury that burden. The only way to get freedom, to have forgiveness, is to confess our sins and repent. If you're serious about wanting revival in your heart, if you're serious about breaking up the fallow ground, you must remove every single obstruction. All of them. If you don't remove the obstacles and do your best to make restitution for your mistakes, revival won't happen. As Brother Darrell has said before, if you get 99% of the cancer removed and you still have 1%, it's going to kill you. Sin leads to death. You got to get rid of it all. You got to lay it all down on the altar. But it's up to you now. I hope you've opened your hearts. I hope you strapped that plow on. I hope you plowed that ground. And I hope you're ready to plant the seeds. I'm ready for revival. And you know what? Through this message, God revived my heart. For a country to be revived, a state has to be revived. For a state to be revived, a city has to be revived. For a city to be revived, the church has to be revived. And for a church to be revived, you have to be revived. Revival starts with you. Why don't you come fill the altars? Repent of your sins. Ask God to help you today to create in you a pure heart. so that you can be filled with righteousness. The day of sadness, the day of bitterness, the day of grudge holding, the day of frustration can all be gone if you'll give it to the Lord today. It's up to you. You raised your hands in the beginning when I said, would you want all the Christians to have revival? Well, now it's up to you. If you want the Christians to have revival, here's your chance. You can revive your heart alongside the Lord. Let us stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, God. Revival is not a sign that's put outside of a church, God. Revival is not having a band come or a great magnificent speaker or a preacher. Revival is what takes place in our hearts, God. It's when we come before you and we say, God, we have sinned, God. We have fallen from you. We have neglected from you. God, take this bitterness, this anger, this hatred, this frustration, this hate for my fellow man, Lord, and install in me forgiveness, God. Help me to repent. Help me to confess my sins, God. Create a new heart in me, Lord. Take that heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. God, I want to be revived today. I don't want to live in misery. I don't want to live in sadness. I don't want to live in suffering. God, I can have joy because all my joy is found in you, Jesus. Lord, I need you today and I need you now. I can't wait another minute, Lord. God, take these things from my heart. All these things I wrote down, God, cast them into the sea as far as the east is from the west. Help me to repent and to change my life, God. Only you can do that. Only you can create a revival in me, Lord. Help me to take my step to come and lay these burdens down before your feet, Lord. Help me to take these roadblocks that have been in my life, God, and take them away, Lord, so that I can drive through, God. Lord, we've been singing about going to heaven today. We've been singing about a revival. Now's our time to take the chance. If we're really going to do it, Lord, can we do it? Give us the strength. Give us the courage, God. Create a new city of Emporia. Make our family new today. Create a new heart, God, and save America, Lord. It can all be done if we will do our part and just ask you, God, today, revive our heart, Lord. Don't let pride get in the way. Don't let any arrogance get in the way. Don't let anything get in the way, God. Let's do business serious with you right now at these altars, God. It doesn't matter what anybody around us does. Lord, this message is for us, Lord, as individuals, God. We don't need to look around and see what other people are doing. Lord, let us come, and God, let us receive the revival from our heart today, God. We're serious about laying these things before you, and we know only you can remove the roadblocks in our life, God. So let us come before you, God, and lay them down at the foot of the cross today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for dying on that cross. Thank you, Lord, for conquering our sin and conquering death, and thank you, God, for the promise that someday, Lord, we'll live with you in heaven, Lord. Take these from us. Restore our joy, God, and help us to live our life and our life more abundantly as we seek you, Jesus, and live for you. It's in your name we pray all these things, Lord. Amen. We have a verse of invitation, and that verse of invitation is near the cross, hymn 169.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my before me, there'll be one.